Welcome to Alien Agenda. This is your host, Tony Tior, and I'm here in Sapporo to talk about UFOs, an Ohio train wreck. There's a reason why I'm calling this podcast an Ohio train wreck, and it's because both situations are kind of dire. The more dire situation is what happened in Ohio for those residents. I want to send out my prayers and hopes and wishes that things get better there. As many folks should know, there was a train that derailed, and it caused a big problem there. They had a bunch of chemicals that were released. We don't know everything, but what we do know is a chemical called vinyl chloride, which is used, I think, in plastics to create various plastics. A bunch of that got released. Now, the bad thing about that is, I mean, my chemistry is quite old from college, but I did a little research on that chemical, and it creates a gas called phosphine gas and hydrogen chloride, right? Okay. Now, phosphine kind of perked my interest because phosphine gas was something that I thought I'd read about as a biological or chemical weapon, and when I did some research, it came to recall that it was used in World War I, and it was not used, you know, for very good intentions. It is basically, it was used to kill people. So what the phosphine gas does is it turns into, when it hits water, it turns into hydrochloric acid. And if anybody took any chemistry classes in high school or college, I think you can, you know, the hydrochloric acid is the stuff that'll burn through almost anything. And what it did is it poisoned people's lungs. It killed people. It was a horrible chemical weapon. I'm not even sure if it's allowed to be used anymore. I think it was probably, I'm looking here, actually, the Geneva Protocol of 1925 prohibited the use of phosphine gas. So now we've got these trains that have wrecked, you know, all over East Palestine, Ohio, and these gases are being created, and people are dying, I'm sure. I'm sure animals are dying, and we had to move. They evacuated, I hear, over 5,000 people. I don't know how quickly that was done. That should have been done immediately, because you do not want to be living in a town with phosphine gas and God knows what else these trains, you know, had and how this stuff mixed. I saw reports that journalists were getting, you know, thrown out of there, that the mass media was keeping this under wraps, and they didn't want people to panic when people probably should have panicked and gotten the hell out of there. And so, although this show is, you know, based on aliens, ET, you know, we want to talk about you know, extraterrestrial life, what's going on with the reverse engineering of, you know, ET spacecraft and things like that. And we talk about other topics here. I don't want us as a society, I don't want to be part of a society that distracts people from some of the most important things. And I can say today clearly that in this last month, the most important thing had nothing to do with weather balloons crossing the United States. We had a much, much bigger problem, and it's the environmental, the disaster for the people. This in Ohio, the culprits of this, people need to look at the, you know, calm down and look at the root cause. Why did this happen? And we need to ensure that this never, ever, ever happens again to anybody in the United States. And if we care about the world, rather than bombing, you know, the Ukraine or Russia, you know, we should all in the world be focused on trying to make it a safer and healthier place for everyone. I mean, this is just crazy. And there's distractions going on all over the place related to this. So once again, my prayers go out to the folks in East Palestine, Ohio. I hope that the government, anybody, you know, who gets involved in government or is in government, you know, one of the things the government should try to do is to put, if they're going to do any regulations, it should be regulations on toxic chemicals, on trains, on probably old tracks, you know, maybe old infrastructure. I mean, rather than spending the money, the billions of dollars, you know, on sending missiles to the Ukraine, maybe we should focus on the United States. I still don't understand what the American people get out of sending their treasure and having mercenaries and all this money going to the Ukraine. For what? For what? We could have solved this problem in the beginning. Zelensky was in the middle of negotiations, and NATO, which is a puppet of the United States, pushed for this war to weaken Zelensky. Now, I'm going to be talking to a friend of mine who's he won't disclose his location. He was kind enough to join the show. He's going to be on the show later. Code Monkey Z. And he usually has the pulse on a lot of these different things, and we'll talk a little bit about that and some other things. So I wanted to get that off my chest before we get into another hot air situation, which is the balloons that have been traversing across the United States. And we can't say for sure that they're all balloons. I think we can pretty much, you know, well, we can't necessarily trust the government, and actually we shouldn't trust the government. It would be nice to trust them. When the truth is convenient to them, they'll tell us the truth. And when a lie is convenient, they'll tell us a lie. So, you know, you get your pick, right? So the first balloon that came across the United States, give a little history of what's going on here, was supposed to be, the Chinese said it was a meteorological, you know, weather balloon. But it was the size of like three buses, and it had a huge undercarriage of a whole bunch of sensors. Now, that could be for, you know, studying the weather. But once again, it's another country, and we can't trust the Chinese. We can't trust them any more or less than we can trust the United States. So what are they doing? Who knows? I mean, when the FBI and the intelligence agencies get the undercarriage, and they start looking at that equipment, if it hasn't self-destructed, and if the equipment self-destructs, that in itself would be concerning. You know, maybe there shouldn't be any proprietary technologies that the Chinese would be worried about unless they were probably doing spying. So if we find that there were explosives or this thing self-destructed, then that would be concerning. So that first balloon that crossed the United States was probably at an altitude of 60,000 or so. Those hot air balloons used for weather are usually very high up, especially spy balloons. And when I say spy balloons, there's probably a spy balloon war going on. Politico, last, I think it was July, talked about how the United States was going to use something like hot air against Russia and China. So, and these spy balloons were supposed to be created. They spent, they talked about maybe $25 million. I'm sure it's a lot more, creating balloons that would be used to, you know, look at hypersonic missiles. Now, you have to ask yourself this one question. Why would you put up a balloon when you have, you know, hundreds of satellites out there? The Chinese, according to, I think, our tracking, have 200 plus satellites. Those satellites can read the, a cigarette pack basically on the ground. They can tell you probably, you know, was it a marble or was it a Pall Mall pack of cigarettes on the ground? So you say to yourself, well, why do you need a balloon? Well, the satellites are like $300 million plus, and I'm not even sure that's the price in orbit. I mean, that's actually just to build the satellite. And then those satellites are easily tracked. You know, you're going to know when a satellite's going over your area. And if you're doing anything like at Area 51 or whatever, you're just going to shut the doors. You're not going to run, you know, a test flight when the satellite's there. But an air balloon is a little bit different. They're harder to track. They have less of a radar profile, and they can blend in with, it's kind of like the folks years ago that used to plant marijuana plants in between tomato plants, and they're trying to hide the plants. The reason I know this is I know some folks that allegedly worked on a project for the military to, you know, look at the those types of plants from the sky with imaging. There's a different chemical makeup, so you could use maybe spectrometry to analyze which is the tomato plant, which is the marijuana plant. So this is some stuff, you know. This the reason I mentioned that as an example is that, you know, you can distinguish those things if you try, but it takes a little bit of work. So if you mix in spy balloons with the weather balloons, it's going to be harder to figure out what's going on. So maybe previously we might have just been letting these things float across the country. So what changed? I think that what changed is that the folks now are looking more at the unidentified aerial phenomena, and people are looking more into the skies. And there's more cell phones. There's more people saying, hey, what's this up in the sky? Maybe NORAD has tweaked their sensors a bit, looking for UFOs now. So this balloon was picked up. And we also have tensions with China, right? I mean, we've been talking about, you know, war with the situation in Taiwan. We have the United States has been very belligerent worldwide. We are like 10 times the military power of the second largest military, although China is now building up their, you know, their Navy and their Army, their Air Force and technology. You can see that with their space exploration. So we have a lot of competition. And now I think the United States, unfortunately, is from a, you know, the culture and the whole philosophy of just being this world dictator, it's just not working. And so we're seeing some blowback from that. So maybe the Chinese are up in the ante and they're putting balloons to see what's going on. So this was tracked. In any case, I think it became a political fiasco for the Biden administration, because the excuse was, well, you know, we have to let it go across the United States. And you could see it in his recent, his briefing to the United States. You know, he waited days. They probably figured, what was the best thing we could say? Because, you know, we looked dumb, right? If we knew that the balloon was coming, why didn't we shoot it down? Oh, well, because, you know, it's dangerous, you know, for people. Well, everybody knew that was a bunch of bullshit, because they could find areas that wasn't dangerous. The United States is, many areas is very sparse. There's sometimes 1,000 miles with not a house, right? So they could have found an area where this thing could have dropped down, they could have shot it down. And then they said, well, don't worry about it spying on us because we could jam it. Well, that's also bullshit. So then now, you know, Biden comes out and says, well, we should forget about the fact that the missile shooting it, you know, is probably going to blow it to smithereens, right? That's why they can't find remnants. You know, you're going to hear a little bit later from Senator John Kennedy, who is talking about they just can't find the remains, the remnants of these other, you know, unidentified aerial phenomena. And I don't even think they want to call them balloons, although Biden said that they look to be, you know, civilian or like, you know, so and not necessarily Chinese surveillance. But if he doesn't know what they are, he can't say for sure. Probably shouldn't say anything. She's just say we don't know what they are. But if you don't know what they are and you're shooting down some kid's air balloon, that looks pretty stupid, because they're spending like $400,000 or $500,000 on a missile, and they had to shoot two, I think, at the one at Lake Huron. You know, so that's $1 million to take down what, some kind of hobbyist balloon? I mean, let's get real. So they're not telling us everything, and if they are telling us, I seriously doubt they're telling us everything. And I think that it just makes trying to make Biden's administration look tougher, because if you just leave one balloon go across the United States and then you shoot it down late, it kind of makes you look incompetent and weak. So he had to shoot something down. So he probably, my guess is he probably shoot whatever UAP we find. Find some UAPs and shoot them down. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't think it's coincidental that, you know, we're shooting down all these balloons right after he shot the one down on the North Carolina coast or whatever. I think he wanted to show that he was tough. And he said that if we see any UAP, we're just going to shoot him down. I'll order to shoot him, take him down. Well, you know, I don't think you can take everything down, Mr. Biden. I think that if there really was an extraterrestrial device. And I think, you know, we've seen this with the New York Times expose on the sailors, you know, flying fighter craft that saw the Tic Tac. The thing moved so quickly and resisted their sensors that there's nothing they could do. So I find it hard to believe that he's going to shoot everything down, but he doesn't want to scare the American public, which is okay. I kind of get that. He wants to sound tough, but I don't think it's working. So the first craft was, you know, admittedly a Chinese device. There were other devices that were shot down. The first one was the weather balloon I mentioned, which was on February 4th. These balloons are not, by the way, a problem for most civilian traffic because they're usually 60 to 65,000 feet in our skies, and civilian aircraft don't go past 33 to like 42,000. Our military pilots don't even normally go up to like 60. The only plane that ever, I think, ever went anywhere as near 60,000 feet was the Concorde, which has been out of service for many, many years. So, you know, I don't think it's a problem unless it's like between, you know, it's below like 50,000 feet or so, which I think they said they found one that was below 50,000 feet. So the Blinken, you know, talked about this. And I think, what did he say? Oh, he canceled his trip, you know, to China. I think they canceled it on him because of this shooting down. The next one was on February 10th, and they said it was the size of a car. Now, the concerning part about the one in Alaska is if what we're being told is true, the pilot said that it was the size of a car, and it was moving at high rates of velocity is what I also heard. And it also affected not all, but at least some of the plane sensors, or at least one of the pilots said their sensors got screwed up. So that would be the most concerning to me, especially if it was trying to evade them. But once again, if we actually saw a device that was flying, in Alaska, and it had, you know, no visible signs of propulsion, and it was moving at hypersonic speeds, which is, I think, one of the people said, and it was just the size of a car. That's really strange, and it's affecting your sensors. That is really strange. That would lead me to believe that it would be some sophisticated, you know, unknown countries, highly advanced surveillance, reconnaissance vehicle, or it could be extraterrestrial. But I don't think we're not gonna know, because if it is something that we blew up, we're able to blow up an ET device, which I think is unlikely. It's possible, but unlikely. The United States government is not going to tell us if they can recover any of the exotic materials, because we have clearly destroyed, or I shouldn't say we destroyed necessarily. We have picked up crashed extraterrestrial vehicles that had some type of malfunction, whether it be something from an electrical storm or they hit a radar station, or, you know, I don't think we've, I don't know a lot of instances where I've read that we've actually successfully shot down. As a matter of fact, anybody trying to shoot down using an ET craft has either been unable to do it or their planes have crashed. There's plenty of history over that. The next UFO shot down was the after Alaska was the 11th, February 11th, on Canada in the Yukon Territory. So they said it was a cylindrical and smaller than a spy balloon, you know. So, and then they shot that one down working with Trudeau. So kind of interesting. Then there was the Lake Huron one that like appeared the next day, and it was flying at around 20,000 feet. So that's not good. The 20,000 feet is within that flight envelope of commercial craft. If they couldn't pick it up, if they could pick it up on radar, they could have, you know, the radio towers, the radio controllers could have informed planes to stay out of that location. We don't even know if it was over any commercial flight path or was even headed that way. But I think regardless that even if it was or it wasn't, they were going to shoot it down to show that they were tough. I think that this whole hot air balloon story is going to evaporate, that we are not going to hear squat about this anymore, that they may say that there was spying devices in the retrieved materials off the coast, the East Coast, from that Chinese balloon. And they may not. They might discover there was spying information and just say that we don't know. We couldn't retrieve enough information to make a determination, but they'll just keep it secret and under their hat and then diplomatically talk to the Chinese, because we're doing the same thing to the Chinese. If you read the political article, we're building balloons and the military says, oh, you know, we haven't deployed them yet. But why would they tell the public? If we're going to make spy balloons and we don't want them to know that we're launching them, are we going to tell the public? Of course not. So I think we're getting blowback from this whole war mentality. We should really focus on peace and not war, because war really is a racket and it's going to destroy our livelihoods. It's going to destroy our wealth. It's going to create inflation. The only people getting rich are the military industrial complex folks. And unless you're in that business, you're not getting rich. And I would even advise those folks to get out of that industry and do something more commercial rather than military, change their business model, because the business model will eventually end up, you know, this is very clear where this is all going to end. It's all going to end up with a nuclear war one day, and nobody wins a nuclear war. That would be very stupid. Now, there is one clip that I wanted to play here, and then I'm going to contact Ron Watkins. I'm going to put a clip on of, it's a 4 or 5 minute clip from Senator John Kennedy. I believe he's out of Indiana, if I'm not mistaken. And he will talk about what his opinions are. And he will mention stuff like that they don't know, they haven't retrieved the materials. And he did say something again, lock your doors at night. I don't think he meant much about that. I did post that on my Twitter channel. I'm starting to use Twitter now. But it was a little strange that he did mention that. You know, maybe he's a little concerned, and he should be, because I doubt he's getting all the information. This the information about E.T. craft is locked up so tight that, as many people say, it would take an act of God to expose it. And I do plan to expose some of this. I'm working on a book called Alien Agenda that should be out. Well, it's, I mean, not called Alien Agenda. It's going to be in a couple conspiracies. And the alien agenda is one of those conspiracies. So here's a little clip from Senator John Kennedy recently about this whole balloon event. And then I'll kick into an episode with Code Monkey Z. Thanks for listening to Alien Agenda. Here's the clip.
They are lost. They can't find them. The remnants are in very difficult terrain, low temperatures, lots of inclement weather, and they're looking, but they haven't been able to find them, except for these spy balloons.
When you say that there's so many,
address the nation.
Well, I think that given where we are and the impression that this is some sort of circumstances that's happened in the last couple of weeks, I think at a minimum our director of national intelligence should go in front of the American people and explain what we know, what we don't know, without divulging any classified information. But this, it's clear to me, this is not a recent phenomenon.
Then why do you think the administration waited until now to start bringing this to light if this has been happening?
I don't know.
Roger Marshall said he feels it's like a fear-mongering. It's intentional fear-mongering.
I don't know. I just know that going into this, the last two hearings, I had the impression that this was something that had happened over the last 2 weeks, and that's not accurate. This has been going on a long time.
Do they give an explanation as to why they're shooting them down now? Why they're deciding?
Nope, they did not.
Yeah, some are saying that it's a wagging of the dog to improve approval ratings.
I don't care to speculate on that. I just know that we need some more transparency. I understand the need for national security secrets, but now that this cow is out of the barn, the president and the director of national intelligence needs to address it. They need to explain to the American people, if they know, and I'm not sure they know, if they know they're not telling us, what these things are, who put them up there, and do they pose a threat to the American people? And if the answer is no, how do they know that?
What's your assessment? Do you feel like there's a threat? Learning what you've just learned, do you feel like the threat level is low or
not high? The only thing I feel confident saying right now is that if you are confused, you understand the situation perfectly.
A terrestrial question. What do you think about Nikki Haley announcing that she wants to be the nominee of your party for president?
I think that competition makes all of us better. And I also think, here's my prediction on the presidential election. The experts will be wrong.
Even if you can't tell us what it is, can you tell us whether they have informed you as to the balloon's ability to intercept communications, whether it be radio communications or telecommunications?
Well, this is public information. The administration has said that somehow our military and our intelligence community were able to jam the communications of the spy balloon in terms of it being able to relay information to other third parties, including but not limited to China. I've read that in the paper, but I haven't heard them say that.
But just that one balloon, or all of the objects have this ability?
Just that one balloon. Let me emphasize. Let me say it again. This has been going on for a long time. We know some of the objects. Others we think we probably missed. And we don't know what most of them are.
Senator, do you feel
so bottom line, you're kind of walking away from this thing still having a lot of questions.
Yes. Yes. We have unity in confusion.
Thanks, guys.
Did you learn anything significant beyond what's been reported in the news, do you feel?
Yeah, I learned a little bit. I can't talk about all of it, but what I took away from the briefing today, more than so than the briefing last week, is that this has been going on for a long, long, long time.
How long?
At least 2017. And last week we were told 2019. That's what I took away from it today.
Thanks, guys.
Well, that was Senator John Kennedy, tonight, folks. And don't know much about this John Kennedy, but seems very intelligent, seems very honest. And for a politician, you know, it's hard to come by. He mentioned that people were confused and there's a lot of confusion. I think that is true. He also mentioned, I think, during his private session, which he couldn't talk about, he probably was told that this has been going on for a long time. They probably have had, you know, unidentified aerial phenomena that has been tracked that they don't really know what it is. I can tell you what I think it is. I'm pretty sure that it's mostly, not all, but the stuff that the military has tons of sensors, the things that are going, you know, hypersonic or faster, that they're doing right angle moves that can move from one position to another almost instantaneously, is highly unlikely to be any earthly human designed technology. It's most likely interdimensional or intergalactic space travelers. So that's going to sound crazy, but that's what I believe. And they're definitely not going to tell him everything because he's probably just getting the icing on the top of the cake. You know, they're going to tell him, oh, we've been tracking it since 2017 or 19. Well, yeah, that's because that's the whole thing that Elizondo, you know, from that whole UAP group that worked with Bigelow, that was became publicized in the New York Times. The things that are publicized are these secret programs to reverse engineer these craft. So as much as, you know, this is a serious topic and it has all kinds of ramifications, you know, for our planet, the problem we have is we have politicians that will do anything to get reelected and to look good. And so I think that it's kind of fascinating and interesting, you know, when you watch what happens here. This situation has kind of become comical because the New York Post, you know, just put out that they think the UFO shot down might put a $400,000 missile might actually be a $12 hobby balloon, a science experiment. One of the schools was trying to look for their lost science experiment. So if we discover that NORAD and it Biden said, you know, go shoot something down, anything. And we end up spending, you know, I'm not sure if that was the one that took two missiles or took one to take down the science experiment. But if we spent like, you know, $400,000 plus sending the pilot out there, we're spending $1 million to take down a $12 science experiment. Some kid, poor kid lost his balloon and he probably, you know, they weren't sure if he was a spy balloon or not. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. I mean, if that's actually the case, I mean, it's a joke. We've really got to move on from this stupidity. It's. I can only imagine what the memes and the news is going to be talking about on this one. But speaking of interesting news, I am going to bring a friend of mine, Ron Watkins, out of his hideout, and he's going to hopefully get on the phone here, and we're going to talk about this and other stuff. And here we go. Hey, Ron. Hey, brother. How's it going? Is it working, Ron? Can you hear me? Shit.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. It's working, but I'm getting about one word a second from you. And I know you got more than one word per second, so...
You're being hacked again, Ron.
Test, test.
You're being hacked.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of off the grid at the moment. My internet's not the best.
Are you in hiding, Ron?
I wouldn't say I'm in hiding, no.
Are you off the grid?
I mean, depends on what the definition of hiding is.
Are you on planet Earth?
Yeah, this counts as planet Earth, yes. So technically you can't like hide anywhere on Earth. The NSA follows you around wherever you go, so it's not like I can actually hide. But I'm in an undisclosed location somewhere on planet Earth.
Well,
just for the record, do you believe in flat Earth or round Earth?
Oh, don't do this. I believe in an oblong, you know, the Earth is not completely round, Ron. But it's not, I don't believe in the flat Earth theory. As a matter of fact, you know.
Well, you know, Orlando says the Earth is shaped like a football.
No, it's not. He's fucking wrong. It's not shaped like a football. Well, why are you even talking?
Have you been to space? Have you seen what the Earth looks like?
If I did, I wouldn't be able to talk about it. It would sound crazy if I said I was in space. No, I haven't been in space, Ron. Only through remote viewing, but never in space. So Ron, don't, are you trying to fuck with me again? Like, look, this is a serious show here, right? You know, you and your flat Earth friends. I mean, I'm telling you, the Earth is not fucking flat. It might be flat like in your house, but the Earth is round. I've flown around the planet. Why do you even do this, Ron? Is this just trolling me? I have to find you in the middle. Like a nowheres, and then you won't even tell me where you are, and you're telling me the Earth is flat. I mean, let's change the topic.
Well, you know, I'm currently in the mountains. It's like a lot of mountains here, and when I look towards the horizon, I keep thinking, "Oh, there's approximately 20 mile visibility range at the horizon." But beyond what you're meant to be able to see beyond the 20 miles, I see giant mountains. jutting out of the Earth. So if the Earth is round, how can you see these giant mountains?
Ron, I'm bewildered. I am absolutely bewildered. You know, I know you've got, you're back on Twitter. Are you trying to like get a whole flat Earth following on Twitter or something? Or they're like, did you like discover that like there are lots of flat Earth? I mean, what percentage of people believe that the Earth is flat? I mean, this is ridiculous, Ron. You shouldn't even
it's probably a low percent.
Good. I would hope so because okay, let's talk about something else that's ridiculous. What do you think about the four UFO shot?
By the way, I never said I was a flat earther. I just asked if you were, for the record.
For the record, no. And for the record, anybody that joins my channels that says they're a flat earther gets shut off. So, hey, listen, I know that's not very kind and considerate because I just don't want to deal with flat earth, and I think you know that. So what's going on with these UFOs, Ron?
Yeah, so the UFOs, you know, I was out in Montana recently. We were doing something to do with elk. And, well, they still happened to show up in Montana. And then, like, there was video from nearby outside of her window. And it showed, like, an explosion in the sky. Boom. And there was, like, it seemed to be debris falling from the sky. Now, at the time, the government was like, no, we totally did not blow anything up in the sky at that moment. But we all saw it on video. It was on the news. And then not long after that, a bunch of UFOs showed up, including in, like, Montana, Alaska, I guess Michigan and Canada, and also some other places in South America, et cetera. Even China claimed that there was a UFO in China. And a lot of these UFOs got exploded. The one China balloon that they shot off the coast of South Carolina, they actually recovered. And apparently they are now researching how the propulsion system worked, and they're getting a lot of information from it. But the other, like, three that they exploded in, I believe, Michigan, Canada, and Alaska, or is it Montana, Canada, and Alaska, those three, they were not able to recover, apparently. Uh-huh.
Right.
Because they're in such difficult-to-retrieve terrain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, that sounds like a bunch of... Because the U.S. military has the capability to fly anywhere at any time and put people on the ground anywhere on Earth.
Right.
So it's really... It's hard to believe that they can't recover these three objects that they shot down.
Well,
have senators who were briefed on it. And the senators were like, hey, if you're confused, then that's precisely, like, you know absolutely 100% what's going on, because we're confused too.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of – the problem we have is that people aren't truthful. And first of all, no. The government's – if there is a UFO that turns – and people get confused. They think UFO means alien spacecraft, and I want to make it really clear – UFO does not mean alien spacecraft. It might mean that to some people, but what UFO means is unidentified flying object. If you throw a dish in the air and you don't know what it is, it's an unidentified flying object. But as soon as you discover what it is, it becomes an identified flying object. And if the U.S. government retrieves or discovers UFOs that they believe are alien craft, they are not going to mention to the public that they have retrieved or seen, you know, alien craft per se. That is definitely something they're not going to do. Now, the first balloon that hit, you know, I think that is a political problem, because the United States Political had an article on the millions of dollars that the United States is spending on these balloons. Now, these balloons that we're talking about, these balloons that can be weaponized, they fly into like over to 60,000 feet in the atmosphere. Most aircraft are between 33 and like 45,000. That's like the optimal area of flying. So they're higher than normal commercial aircraft. Now, our fighters can get up to 60 or so. And there's specialized, you know, NASA planes and whatnot that can go higher. But this first balloon, in my opinion, was probably definitely a weather balloon and probably modified to do certain types of surveillance. Now, a lot of people are going to be arguing that, like, that's bullshit because we have China's got, like, you know, over 200 satellites flying around the Earth, and those satellites can see things down to the size of a, you know, a cigarette pack these days, okay? So, but they're all being tracked by NORAD very clearly because they're in these fixed orbits or geosynchronous orbits. We know where they are. Balloons are harder to track, and they could be integrated. So I think there's a high probability that the balloon that flew across was a meteorological balloon that may have been modified for spying, most likely, in my opinion, for spying. And Biden had egg on his face. That balloon got picked up coming into from the West Coast, and it traversed across the whole United States. And he said it wasn't a threat. They were jamming it and all this other stuff. And to look tough, they shot it down at the end, which also makes them look stupid. Because if it wasn't a threat, why did you shoot it down at the end? And then they say, oh, it's going to hurt people. You know, the fallout would hurt people, so we didn't shoot it down. I mean, that's bullshit. I mean, we shoot stuff down all the time. They do training runs. There's plenty of countryside areas where they could have shot that balloon down. So that's a bunch of bullshit. So since he looks stupid, I think NORAD basically changed their sensors, because I've worked on some of these satellite systems and whatnot, and they can obviously change, you know, parameters. So they probably said, oh, we got to start looking for this anything small now. So then they found some stuff, and they're like, oh, my God, we got all this stuff flying around. So they, you know, they're shooting all this shit down, and it makes him look tough now, because now he shot down, you know, four balloons rather than saying he let a Chinese spy balloon, you know, just, you know, fly across the United States. So I think it's all bullshit. I do think, though, that the one device, whatever it was that was blown up in Alaska, assuming that that's true, didn't sound like a normal balloon. And I think that if, you know, some of those materials, they should be able to, but, you know, those materials are going to, if you're something's at like 60 or 40 or 30,000 feet and it blows up, materials are going to come down. But if it's a small thing the size of a car and they use a Sidewinder missile, whatever they use to blow it up, Ron, I mean, I don't know much material is going to be left. You know, it might be hard to find that. I mean, I'm sure they can find it. But I think a lot of this is actually hot air and bullshit.
Well, I had somebody who was working with the media in the on the American side of where the Canadian object was taken down.
Right.
And he sent me video of the object falling out of the sky. And it fell out of the sky in one piece. So if it was hit by a missile or whatever, it would not have fallen down in one piece. I imagine they took it down in some other way.
Interesting. Well, they're not going to tell us how they took it down. If they really thought it was an alien device, you know, maybe they use some kind of like space laser system or something that they've been working on. You know what I mean, Ron?
Even just an EMP.
Assuming
it was like a magnetically.
Sure.
Electromagnetically held up there.
Yeah, I would think that they have special equipment these days to take down those types of devices. And it wouldn't normally, you wouldn't want to use like an explosive missile per se. You know, if you can affect their, Roswell and them came down, a lot of people believe, from electrical storms. So if you can disperse, say, like nano aluminum around the area, right? And then you can electrify it. You know, Tesla had a lot of these weird patents. I'm sure that there's some interesting ways that myself, you know, understanding, you know, as an electrical engineer, I have some ideas of how I would try to build something. But who the hell knows what went on? You know, the Alaska thing is interesting because they said that they couldn't see a visible propulsion. They couldn't understand the propulsion. But you know, a balloon doesn't have propulsion. It flies by the wind, so there would be no visible propulsion. But the fact that they went out of their way and said that is interesting. And then one of the pilots said that they couldn't, their sensors were getting jammed, which means that that device might have had jamming equipment in it installed, and maybe they were testing.
Well, not necessarily. You know, ion thrusters are not visible and potentially could jam your equipment if you got close to it in the correct direction of the ion.
Yeah.
Unless I'm mistaken.
No, you're not. Things. You're not, Ron. I mean, ionized gas has electrical charge.
I'm no physicist, but I'm pretty sure that's...
I mean, like, so did they have an ion engine in there? I mean, I'm not so sure how effective an ion engine would be in our atmosphere. I mean, but then again, if it was alien technology, it's going to be very strange. And they said they shot it down. So the Alaska one is interesting. I would expect them to say that they have no material for two reasons. One, it's going to be hard to maybe find materials if this was like a small, you know, terrestrial, non-alien spying drone or something. I mean, there'd still be some stuff down, but those areas in Alaska was like in the middle of nowhere. But they'll find it, I think, some, but they won't tell us. And if it was a UFO that was an alien device that we were somehow capable of shooting down, they're not going to tell us. But I think it's interesting we had all this all at once, don't you?
Yeah. Did you see the video of the hexagonal UFO crashing?
The one you posted?
Yeah.
I saw something in your thing. I didn't know that was the hexagonal one. It was really interesting, like coming down from the sky.
I just sent you the link.
Oh, okay, cool. Where did you get all this stuff?
It's just floating down out of the sky. Oh, that's from the news guy or reporter who was in the area. He got the video.
So that reporter saw that thing coming?
I'm not meant to say who it is.
That's okay. So, but the government said nothing happened at that moment, right?
Yeah, but you can see on video the thing falling out of the sky.
Yeah, I did. I saw that. It's weird. What do you think that, I mean, when you look at that thing, I looked at it before. What do you think that, I mean, does that look like a balloon to you?
No, it looks like a drone.
That's what I was thinking. I think that...
Yeah, but it's drones flying for extended periods of time at 30, 40,000 feet is not very common.
Not at all. Yeah. But...
And there's strict laws for drones. Like, you're not meant to fly above a few hundred feet, I believe.
Yeah, but we're talking about governments here, Ron. I don't think we're talking about private people. I mean, it's possible. You have to think about what a government would be willing to do. Drones, I think, and hot air, these balloons, are much cheaper. You know what a satellite costs? About $300 million, right? To get one satellite up. I mean, that's just a satellite price, I think. I'm not even sure that includes the flight up. Last I recall, they were like, you know, my friend used to sell satellites, which is kind of weird. And I was involved working on some satellite stuff. They're really expensive. A balloon is not going to cost $300 million, and neither is a sophisticated drone, like a military-grade drone. I mean, but I don't know how long they could fly that high. Yep. I mean, you know, you'd have to have like a mothership or something nearby to – it would have to land, and then somebody would have to refuel the thing. I mean, you don't want these things crashing. You want the information. I mean, they could be just throwaway drones. You know, you fly it up there. It gets the data and it just crashes. But then we would see these things. We haven't been seeing crashed drones all over the place. Yep. It's very weird. It is very weird. But I do think there's politics involved. Would you agree there's some politics involved in this?
Oh, absolutely. It's probably some kind of CIA black project.
So you think that these drones...
The CIA doing some weird, like, domestic spying.
Could be.
When they're not supposed to, and then... they're like, hey, Biden, don't talk about this because we're not meant to be doing it. And so, therefore, Biden's like, hey, I don't know anything about that.
But Biden doesn't know anything about anything. Anyhow, that's the normal answer from him. I mean, like, it goes without saying that, you know, Biden says he doesn't.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing in the United States government, and you have the politics involved, right? So maybe NORAD picked them up, and then they scrambled some jets to shoot them down, and then somebody says, fuck, did you talk to the CIA? Those were our spying drones that we spy on Canada with. You're shooting down our spy drones.
Canada.
Well, there was one in Canada, don't forget, right?
It's probably what happened. Yeah.
I mean, but we're not going to know. They're not going to tell us what really happened. Did you?
No, they won't.
There was this...
They would tell us it was aliens before they would tell us it was the CIA.
Right, exactly. Or they would imply that it's aliens before they would tell us what it is. And it fits their like...
Well, the one senator kind of did imply it was aliens. Remember he said to lock your doors when you go to sleep at night?
Oh, I posted that guy Kennedy.
That's a weird way to end an interview.
You know, you wonder... I don't think he's part of the problem, though. I think he's out of the loop. I think he's out of the loop. You think he really knows what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
No. Of course not.
Yeah.
No.
No, I don't think so either. And I think he probably was a little bit nervous because, like, he wants the National Intelligence Director to go out and tell people what they know and don't know, which sounds horrible. I mean, like, this sounds great for a politician, but we all know these guys fucking lie. You know what I mean? The National Intelligence Director isn't going to necessarily, he's going to tell us what they want to tell us. And if it's the truth, that's fine. And if it's not going to be the truth, that's also fine. So you don't, it's a crapshoot what you get out of these guys. But we've been building, did you know that we've been building, you know, the political article is about us building, weaponizing air balloons to fly over China and Russia. Did you know that? So we were talking about, like, in June of last year, weaponizing air balloons to go around 65,000 feet or higher to go over China and Russia to surveil their hypersonic missiles. We get a balloon. We go ballistic, literally, over the balloon. I mean, and it happens at a time that the news comes out from Seymour Hersh, you know, the Pulitzer Prize winning author, about the Nord Stream terrorism. What do you think of that, Ron? I'm just curious. I like to change topics here a little bit.
Well, it goes back to the CIA. If the CIA destroyed the Nord Stream, then nobody's going to admit that. Of course they're going to deny. The guy's going to have to come out with, like, some hard proof evidence, maybe even video of the CIA planting those bombs on the Nord Stream in order for the U.S. government to admit anything. And unless that happens, it's just going to be denied.
Well, of course they're going to deny it, but Seymour is not like, he's not like somebody that's easily discredited, right? I mean, he's brought up other scandals. This to me is like the Watergate story in a way, because he said, I think yesterday, something to the effect that, you know, we don't give a shit about the Germans, right? We didn't care. We basically cut their cheap supply of natural gas to keep the war going. And that line, by the way, was owned like 51% or so by a Russian company. And a lot of people may not know this. It wasn't just Russia. It was 51% was Russia, Gazprom or something, and like 49% was this other conglomerates, including Germany. So if it's true that the United States blew up a German business's pipeline because, you know, we want to keep the country in war, if there is a terrorist, international terrorist act of war, that's it. That's it. And if I was Germany and I got fucked and my prices went up 50 to 100%, my natural gas, so some jackass Biden, who's got his family in bed with the Ukraine, you know, can continue his puppet war through their, you know, country. If I was Germany, Germany was the powerhouse of Europe, of the EU. And they did it on cheap energy. And now they're fucked. And it seems like, I think the United States has lost it, Ron. I think it's lost it.
Well, it's possible Germany and the United States did it together.
The government, not the company. Yeah,
not know. The people, of course not. The governments. It's very possible that they both decided to go all in on destroying that pipeline in order to stoke war.
Yeah.
You know, Pearl Harbor, when that happened in World War II, the U.S. government knew it was going to happen. It's not like that was a secret.
Right.
The sailors on the boats did not know, but the government knew, the intelligence agencies knew that that Pearl Harbor was about to be bombed by the Japanese, and they let it happen in order to stoke war.
Yeah, and I mean, is this war worth it, Ron, this war in Ukraine?
Well, it's certainly not worth it to me, but to Biden and his cronies, it's obviously worth it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's worth it so much, you know, poor Matt Gaetz, right? You know, he's been getting beat up a lot. You know, the New York Times tried to say he was a pedophile with no evidence. You know, the Justice Department said there was no evidence of this. You know, there was this trying to, you know, taint him, you know, with this stuff, some 16-year-old girl, whatever. But, you know, he was exonerated. There was no evidence to even go to a trial. And but the New York Times, you know, pushes this stuff because he's one of the, and you notice he's one of the guys against the Ukraine war. He's right now trying to ask about funding of this Ukraine war. And, you know, people are attacking. Glenn Greenwald was talking about this reporter. I don't know who it is. I think it's, you know, some guy named Ryan Cooper, somebody who just said that, you know, I hope I need to double check this, said that, oh, that it was a chicken shit club, that, you know, the DOJ, because they wouldn't, you know, try to convict him. Who the fuck are these guys? They, you know, these liberals, if they don't like your, you know, your politics, they don't care about the truth. You know, they just want to try to find a way to put somebody in prison for no reason. So I don't know, man. You know, when you get politics involved in this UFO stuff, people were saying to me like, "Oh, what do you?" You know, I get some text messages and emails. Oh, you think it's just a disinformation? You don't believe that there's any UFOs or aliens? No, I believe aliens have visited Earth and still are. But I also believe the United States government's not going to tell you, you know, about it at all.
Pretty sure you've got that analysis spot on.
Who's going to win the Ukraine war, Ron?
What's that? The connection's so bad, I'm only getting like one word a second. Who's going to win the Ukraine war? Everybody's going to lose the Ukraine war. There's no winning from that.
Explain. Can you explain more on why?
Well, the Ukrainians are losing because their cities are being destroyed. The Russians are losing because they're being drafted to go into the meat grinder. The European countries are losing because they're spending all this money and energy on supporting Ukraine. The U.S. is losing because we're bankrolling Ukraine. So nobody's winning.
So why the fuck are we in this war?
Well, if the point of the war is to use the Ukrainians to be like a proxy for the U.S. to fight Russia without actually having a U.S. versus Russia fight, then that would be the only reason I could imagine the war would be kept going.
And why the hell are we going after Russia?
I heard that it's only cost us like 10 or 15% of the yearly military budget in order to almost bankrupt Russia's military.
Why are we, you think that Russia's...
From that angle, it's like a good return on investment.
You think it's a good...
If you consider that kind of thing an investment.
So you think that, so we're basically bankrupting Russia. Why do we want to do that?
Well, why would we want to bankrupt Russia? Maybe because they don't use the central banking system that we use, and that they're threatening to switch to using the Chinese RMB instead of the US dollars to do their trade.
But we kind of like, it's kind of like a vicious cycle. You know, I think the Democrats use Russia as the boogeyman to try to kick out Trump because, you know, he wasn't fitting in with the New World Order the way they expected. So they used Russia as the boogeyman, and it's all bullshit. And now, I mean, Russia and India and China built their own, like, SWIFT system, from my understanding. You're familiar with SWIFT, right? The banking, you know, interconnectivity stuff that goes on. And so
yes.
I think the petrodollar is basically going to be gone now. I mean, you know, Arab countries, I think Saudi Arabia is now accepting non-dollar denominations for oil. So the petrodollar goes. Our way of living in America is gone. Is gone. So you've got a point there, but I think it's a big mistake, Ron. I think we need to get out of this war.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you think we could get out of the war right now? What could be done to get out of the war right now?
Stop funding it. Just stop funding it. I mean, we're funding the war. I mean, yeah. There's really a couple things here. First of all, the Rand Corporation put out a report recently, and they're not liberal by any means. And they basically said, if you read the article, that we're fucked, that this is actually going to hurt the United States more than help it. This is a global venture that it's corrupt, and it's just, they didn't use those exact words, but it's basically, we're going to go broke from this thing, and it's going to hurt America more than help it. So they're basically saying, you know, we need to get out of this thing, right? So what I would do is we need to support people like Getz and anybody, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, anybody that says, let's look at the funding. Why are we funding this war? And A, stop the funding. Congress can cut off the money. Okay. But in parallel, it would be good to use that as leverage to Russia and say, hey, and Ukraine and say, listen, we're going to stop the funding if you guys are willing to do this and negotiate some peace. We should try to negotiate peace. I mean, worst case, we should just stop the funding. But if we can use that as leverage to negotiate peace, that's what we should do. And we control Zelensky. I mean we control him 100%, right? We say we're not funding, and NATO will stop. I mean, the United States controls NATO. The United States is basically the empire that's running the world. It pretends to like have NATO and the United Nations and all this other shit, but it's really the United States that's running the world. So if the United States says, look to Putin, look, we'll let you keep some of the land, we made some mistakes, blah, 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 and let's just end this fucking war. And listen to what they want. Nobody wants to listen. Everybody says, oh, we're going to beat Russia, we're going to do this. We're out of our fucking minds. We need to stop the funding. We need to negotiate peace. And what does it matter? What strategically, what does it fucking matter if half of Ukraine? I mean, look, I feel sorry for the Ukrainian people that got stuck in this goddamn mess. But from America's perspective, what does it matter if half of Ukraine or all of Ukraine, for that matter, went to Russia? How does that affect us going to work, our livelihoods? Does it affect our jobs? Does it affect, you know, how our iPhones work? Does it affect, you know, our meat industry? I mean, what the hell does it affect? I'll tell you what it affects. The military industrial complex. They sell less equipment. That's the only group that it affects. And you can't eat bombs. So I think we need to, the problem is we also need to retransition our military industrial complex. These companies make shitloads, and war is profitable. And I've said this many years ago, unless we can convert our military industrial complex to civilian industry, we're in big trouble because they're going to keep feeding this war. They're going to keep going to politicians and giving them information as to why. Here's a study as to why we got to ruin Russia. War is a fucking racket. So we just need to stop the funding, negotiate peace, and end the goddamn thing before we all die in a nuclear war. Another topic was this Ohio explosion. You know, I'm not in the United States right now. I'm assuming you're somewhere in the United States, but I don't know. But I don't even think you watch TV, Ron, but have you seen anything on the local news about the Ohio explosion?
Yeah, the Ohio explosion is pretty wild. Apparently, like, a bunch of VC chemicals were sent into the air. And in factories that work on that chemical, it's the maximum exposure rate is like one particle per million. So having all of that in the sky and floating out into the atmosphere and raining back down into the rivers and waterbeds, it's really, really a disaster. Probably one of the biggest chemical disasters in the States ever.
Was it a terrorist act? Do you think it was terrorism?
I don't think it was a terrorist act. No. I think it was just people trying to cut corners on costs and lying about what their cargo was. And then apparently it was going to explode into a giant bomb that would destroy the whole city. So they decided to just burn it off instead of letting it explode.
I heard journalists were getting arrested.
And here we are.
I heard journalists were getting arrested. Did you hear about that?
I heard that journalists were getting arrested for going to investigate, which is very, very suspicious.
Yeah.
But we did get like a week worth of UFO out of it as they distracted us from the Ohio incident.
Yeah, that's kind of, you think that, you wonder if that had anything to do with all the UFO stuff that was going out, you know, if they use that as a distraction. It's all this stuff is probably used for distractions. It probably just happens and then they just use it. I saw some stuff on Rumble about people not being getting arrested and a lot of birds dying, animals dying, people getting sick, being poisoned. I mean, if we really cared about our people, they should have went in. That's where the CDC or somebody should have went in there and done air samples and protected the kids. Could you imagine how many kids probably got like cancer or all kinds of diseases now from living in that area? Yep. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's really sad.
Yep.
It's probably,
you know, the Ohio chemical incident, it'd be good to have a flat earth in that situation because the chemicals would just go into the clouds and then fall off the edge of the flat earth. And then we'd be done with it. But I don't think that's the case.
No, it's not the case, Ryan. It's very sad.
It's terribly sad.
One of the things that I always thought the government should do, but maybe that's not necessarily a conservative thing, is, you know, public safety, right? You know, you have public trains, you have, you know, public transportation, you have the highways, you try to make laws that try to ensure that trains don't fall off the tracks, that people aren't shipping, you know, like TNT, you know, across, you know, fire zones or whatever. I mean, you know, you don't want stupid stuff. This seems like, I haven't done enough research on it, but the chemicals look really toxic. And the videos that I was able to see showed people in major distress. And I don't even think they know the long-term consequences of these chemicals. We see so many fires at eggplants and food processing plants. I'm wondering if we're getting blowback, you know, like we have no, you know, you and I were on the border, Ron. I mean, it's literally Swiss cheese, right? So, I mean, who's to say we don't have a whole bunch of people coming to the United States that are waging war against the Americans, right? Like blowing up this stuff. How do we know? And if they did, would the government tell us?
We don't know. And it's actually more likely than not.
I hate to beat up, you know, any particular, you know, race or country, but I hear a lot of Chinese now are coming across the southern border. Because it's easier to get into the United States against our porous border than it is. I mean, we've had millions, it sounds like, of people illegally crossing. I mean, the country can't, I don't see how, I mean, we're spending.
Well, I think that comes down to the U.S. international vaccine mandate.
The vaccine mandate?
The U.S. is like one of the only countries that still has a vaccine mandate upon entry for the COVID vaccine. And the U.S. government does not recognize the Chinese Sinovac.
Ah.
So all those Chinese people who want to come here for study or, you know, to go back to work or whatever, they can't come into the country because they're not technically vaccinated to the U.S. standard. So I think it's possible that they're like illegally crossing the border in order to bypass that regulation.
Yeah, my wife.
Now, I know that Thomas Massie put together a bill to remove that vaccine mandate so that unvaccinated people can come through. And actually it passed the House, but I think it'll be a big, like a bargaining point for the Senate and maybe even Biden to sign off on it.
They're not going to sign off on it. I think Biden already said he's not going to sign off, and it's going to be hard to get it through the Senate. And if it gets to the Senate, Biden's going to veto the thing. You know, United States politicians, from what I read, and I think this is probably true, it's interesting. United States is the only one of the last leading industrial countries that's like using this vaccine as a, you know, as a part of your checklist, right? They won't accept the Chinese vaccine, yep. Which probably the Chinese probably know more about this virus than anybody, since it happened there, right? In one of the bio labs, probably. And, but the other interesting thing is the United States politicians get more money from the big pharmaceutical industry than any other country in the world. That's also probably a coincidence, right? They get more money from the pharmaceutical industry than any other country in the world. And then they're the, like the last holdout that says, you got to get your shot that doesn't work, right? That doesn't work. I mean, it's America's turned into complete tyranny. You know, I believe like that the American public, unfortunately, is like the most misinformed society that like money can buy and does buy. And so they don't have a fucking clue. They believe all this bullshit. They think that you and I are nuts, Ron. They probably listen. Anybody listen to this podcast who's like from the normie or normal society will say, what the hell are these guys talking about? You know, in Japan, they're still doing masks here, Ron. I mean, do you believe that?
Well, they were doing masks before COVID too, though.
Not like this, though. Like everybody's still wearing a mask. Everybody's still wearing a mask. And they're going to cancel the mass in like May, but they're like, oh, we don't want to do it until after Golden Week. That's a big trip where a lot of tourists come here. So Japanese feel good that, you know, you're not, you know, you're going to protect you with a mask. I mean, we've created a whole society of people that don't think anymore. I don't know. Are they using masks anywhere in the U.S. anymore?
I mean, some people wear masks still.
Really? Wow.
I use an N95 mask when I'm working on wood, when I'm planing wood and working with power tools and stuff.
Well, yeah. So
I use a mask occasionally. I should probably use it more, actually. I've been coughing the last few weeks.
Well, what have you been working on? Can you talk about what you've been working on?
Yeah, so I'm building like a Made in America manufacturing plant. And we're going to be making some different things. And the goal is just to, you know, bring manufacturing back.
So you're going to build stuff. Well, you're in America, so obviously anything you make will be made in America. At least I think you're in America. I mean, you won't tell me where you're at now, but I know you're supposed to be in America. I'm still in Japan.
Well, I'm definitely not in St. Kitts.
So can you, any products that you can talk about or you don't want to talk about it? It's okay. Anything in particular? I saw something online that you were doing something with meat or something like that.
Right now we're sort of starting, simple.
Okay.
And we're building some simple things first and we're eventually going to be working up to doing, the goal is to do aerospace type stuff.
That would be cool. Aerospace would be cool, Ron. Aerospace is...
Yeah, but we're not quite there yet because manufacturing with carbon fiber and, you know, the different composites, it's a bit... it takes a bit more expertise than we currently have, but we're building up to it. We're leveling up and we're learning every day. And I think in a couple weeks, we should be able to start, you know, manufacturing simple carbon fiber and
good. Well,
different composite material type stuff.
Get some good fans in there, Ron. That's all I have to say. If you're working on composite fiber stuff, sounds like you're building like a UFO almost, Ron. Are you working?
Yeah, we have good fans.
Are you building a UFO?
Well, I mean, I would know what it was if it was flying. So, is it UFO to me? The word UFO is quite relative to the viewer.
I know. I'm just teasing. You're building something that flies. In other words, are you building something that flies? No comment. Okay.
Yeah. The goal is to build something that flies.
Well, if you're working in aerospace, most aerospace uses, you know, aero means aerodynamics, right? You know, something that flies. So I assume you're, if you're working in aerospace, you're building something that flies. So interesting.
Well, I took a few years of mechanical engineering courses, so I know just enough to not shoot myself in the foot.
Is this more fun than the campaign?
The campaign was quite fun, but I felt like the campaign was much more stressful.
Right. What do you think of Eli Crane's job so far?
That's just on me, but...
Yeah. Have you followed Eli Crane at all? Is he doing anything good?
Yeah, Eli Crane, so far he's mostly voted in the same way I would have voted. So, not too bad.
I lost you in a second. So Eli voted the same way... So Eli voted how you would have voted then. So that's good then, Ron. At least we got a Democrat
He's
out.
He's voting generally in the same way I would have voted. So, yeah, not too bad.
Good. Well, that's good. That's good news then. I'm glad the Republican Congress got in. I'm glad of that. And the Hunter Biden stuff, boy, that is really interesting to me, what's going on with the Hunter Biden, you know, laptop. You know, what do you think what's going to happen with that laptop story?
I know a few people that have been, subpoenaed by the DOJ about the laptop. So probably they're going to get into some trouble.
Wait a second. Well, who's going to, when you say
Which is
you,
unfortunate.
Wait, are you
it
saying.
It depends on how they produced the, what's that?
Well, see, you got me confused. Are these friends of yours that might get in trouble, Ron? Be careful how you answer that.
I wouldn't classify them as friends.
So do you personally think that they did something wrong?
But no, I just know that some people got subpoenaed. It was in the news. It was in the news that they got subpoenaed.
Okay. Well, but my understanding...
I had no involvement in the Hunter Biden laptop.
Wait a second. I don't know. We could always delete this, Ron, but... I could have sworn you said somebody tried sending you a copy of that laptop one time. But let's not talk about that then.
Let's not talk about that.
All right.
I have no involvement in the Hunter Biden laptop or any of that stuff that went down.
Well, is that what you told Colin when he was following you around?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think
that was all scripted anyways.
Oh yeah, it was right.
Colin handed us a script, don't you remember?
Yes, I do recall. He said, "Say this on the script." I remember that. And then you and I also agreed that we would drink and get drunk, and we would make lies in between the truth, so no one knew what the fuck we're talking about. So if we did talk about the laptop, we didn't talk. We were making it up.
sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, in any case, what you don't know about the laptop, from what you don't know about the laptop, Ron, is Biden fucked? Is Biden fucked?
Is Biden fucked? Yeah. I don't think so. It's probably the people that released it that are fucked.
Wait a second. That's not how America's supposed to work, Ron. Wait a second. Are you telling me the people who released the Biden laptop are fucked, not the data that's on there that says that they were involved in the Ukraine, that they got bribes, and that they give them the big guy 10%. None of that means nothing. Is that what you're saying?
For sure, yeah.
Come on.
All the criminals, they're just going to cover up for each other. Just how it goes.
Well, look, I do believe in, like, if somebody has improper evidence, then it's inadmissible in court. I don't want to end up like the liberals that are saying that, you know, the ends justify the means here, okay? If that laptop was illegally obtained and it's illegal evidence in a court, then that's fine. If it showed criminal activity, then it's inadmissible in court, then the person should not go to jail, right? I mean, I'm all for that, aren't you? If it's inadmissible, right? But
I agree.
But the guy left the damn laptop at this computer store, right? And he didn't get it back because probably he was high on crack. Now, I wouldn't be happy if I left a laptop. You know, I work in the tech industry.
if I left a lap, I would, first of all, I wouldn't leave a laptop. You know, if I was the vice president's son, would all that shit on a laptop? First of all, I wouldn't be involved in those activities. And B, even with non-illegal activities, I would not like to have confidential classified information, you know, released, which is what he kind of did by giving it to that computer shop, right? I mean, and so I don't know from a DOJ standpoint, you know, when that was given to Giuliani or whoever else might have acquired a copy of that laptop, if that information, but reporters should be allowed, if they're given information, I don't think there's anything criminal about, like, you know, if Julian Assange or somebody wanted to put that information out. I mean, isn't that like an exclusive news story? Is that illegal? If you, like, if someone gave me, I'm going to ask you this question, Ron. If I got a copy of that laptop and I saw criminal activity on it and I believed it to be true, do I have any responsibility or any legal liability or legal obligation to bring that to the authorities? Interesting that as soon as we talk about the laptop, Ron's internet shuts off. Huh. Probably a sensitive topic.
Yeah, the internet keeps shutting off for some reason.
Yeah, when I use the word, if I use the word, I won't, H-U-N-T-E-R.
Yeah, I'd say doesn't want us talking about the laptop.
Nope. So if I got a copy of that, Ron, do I have any legal liability to, do you know of?
Well, my understanding is there's illegal content on the laptop. So if you have a copy of it, then it's technically illegal to have a copy of.
Okay, well, what about like wire transfers from Russia for like illegal activities, or say, for example, China, you know, like crooked deals. And I mean, this is the vice president's son who's now the president. I mean, I think that, and then I think the big scandal, Ron, was those 51 intelligence officers. I think it was like 51 who got together and said, this is Russian. This has the characteristics of Russian.
It's a big scandal, but the problem is it's being protected by the people in the White House and in the deep state. So there's just really not much that we can do. Even if everybody received a copy of the laptop in their mail tomorrow, then still nothing can get done.
Well, but I think we're doing something now, right? If people start waking up, you know, to the fact that this was not Russian disinformation, right? And understand that having the New York Post and Twitter and everybody try to label it as misinformation, this is the new word for censorship, basically. You know, we want to censor something because we don't like what it is. I think we have a bigger problem than the laptop. I think that the big tech controlled media has been exposed by Elon Musk for what they are, a bunch of liars that will, you know, they have their narrative. And so, you know, hey, we're going to control your speech. We're going to hide it. We're going to classify it as, you know, the Russian boogeyman or something. And, you know, Trump's got a point. I'm not in love with Trump these days, but I'll tell you something. He's got a pretty good point about, like, if that information wasn't withheld a couple weeks before the election, like it was, I think even with, you know, with all these election shenanigans, that would have changed the voters' mindset. You know, it happened with Hillary, with what Julian Assange had put out. Liberals loved Julian Assange until he started putting information out that hurt Hillary Clinton. But what he did is told the truth. Sure. Yeah. So I think Trump would have, you know, would have gotten enough extra votes that he would have won that election, even with election shenanigans. And they went out of their way to make sure that the truth didn't get out to the public. And
well, did you see that Trump said he's putting together a big group to do election ballot harvesting?
He's going to do what?
So basically, if you can't Democrats at cheating, then you just got to cheat better than them at cheating.
So he's going to do election ballot harvesting like the Democrats did? Well, he's got a point.
Yep.
But then...
Yeah.
Nobody believes in the system anymore, right? I mean, does your vote matter, right? If you have everybody cheating like that. I think the world's in a bad place, Ron. I'm writing.
It's gonna come down to who can cheat better. What are you writing?
I'm writing a novel right now, a nonfiction story. It's gonna have three topics. I'm about 40,000 or so words into it. It'll probably be over 100,000 words. But from hanging out with you in the campaign, I thought it would be interesting to talk about, you know, free speech and what this whole people like tried to label you as like a conspiracy QAnon person. And I want to try to define what's happened in America, because I think that whole movement of free speech, I didn't realize how much you and your dad were involved in free speech until I got to know you. Free speech is the only thing that's really going to change this world. As much as people dislike, you know, like people don't like, no one wants to be told that, you know, when, you know, I've been overweight in my life and, you know, no one wants to be told that, no one wants to look in the mirror and say, oh my God, I'm fat. You know what I mean? Right. But the truth hurts. But unfortunately, without the truth, you don't lose weight. Right. If everybody tells the king, oh, you look great. And he's like 400 pounds. You know, the king's going to die of a heart attack. And our society is now dying of a heart attack of lies and deceit and misinformation from the government. So what you did what you have done with like Acorn, you know, and the other sites that you've worked on are mostly free speech. And I noticed on your Twitter account that you got back that you're an absolutist free speech person. So I thought that was kind of cool. So free speech is going to be a big topic. I also want to talk about the alien agenda stuff, not the alien distraction stuff, but the actual alien agenda stuff that's going on. And then I want to talk about this broken matrix, about how, you know, this whole misinformation industry is being propped up by the government to, you know, worse now than ever. So, but are you going to get involved?
I'll read your book when it comes out.
Yeah, cool. How's your Twitter account doing? What do you think about being back on Twitter?
It's quite interesting. I like that on Twitter people can reach out to you directly and send you messages, and you can have much better interaction with people. That's something that was missing on Telegram.
Yeah.
It's hard to get like direct feedback on Telegram.
Well, you're picking up, you know, they complained, all the news all over the place complained about you getting your account back. You know, I like your tweets. I think what you're doing is great. I also see that you're actually picking up, you know, subscribers again. So I'm sure that the left is going to love that.
You know, I think I'm down like 200,000 from when I was banned, but I mean, that's fine. I seem to be shadow banned, or at least put into some kind of bucket on Twitter, so new people don't really see what I'm writing.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
that's fine too. At least I have an outlet.
Well, you're back. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I've never.
And I'm glad to be in a bucket where I don't have to look at their stuff.
That's funny, Ron. I have thousands of people on Telegram, you know, and I never really used Twitter. I had like 20 until like last week. Now I got, you know, almost 300 now, you know, so it's kind of a joke. You're worried about losing 200,000 and you still got over 400,000. I mean, geez, you're stronger than CNN. You know that, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know what they got on Twitter, but what I mean is I don't think they get 300,000 people watching their shows anymore, you know?
Yeah, that's probably true.
So what's the big next thing that, you know, it's going to happen in America, do you think, over the next couple of years? What do you think?
Well, the AI stuff is pretty concerning.
It is.
We're at a point in AI now where it's reached human parity on the public-facing AI models. So the private ones that are actually being used by military and companies behind the scenes are actually probably way beyond the capabilities of what they show us publicly.
Right.
And that's the most concerning to me at the moment, because it's definitely going to be used to weaponize against the general populace.
Well, it always boils down to like morals and ethics and our culture, right? Technology is amoral, okay? What I mean by that is that it's neither good nor bad nor evil. You know, these words are kind of human constructs of what's good and evil. You know, if you're George Washington, you know, killing the redcoats is a good thing. And if you're a redcoat, getting killed is a bad thing, right? And from the King of England, you know, losing the war was a bad thing. But for George Washington, when England losing the war was a good thing. And so, but there should always be some common, like, decency, some common ethics and morality that I just see lacking, right? So if you, all you care about is the ends justify the means, you don't care what you do to win, you don't care about your fellow man, you don't have empathy.
Excuse me.
You gotta stop breathing those construction materials for your your interstellar craft, Ron. So if you take an evil person and you give him a gun, he's gonna kill somebody with it. If you take it with a person who has ethics and morality, the person's gonna use it to protect their family or to shoot an animal to get some food when they need food or something like that, right? So AI, I think the challenge with AI, there's going to be AI wars, I think. And I put this on Twitter the other day. I think that for all intents and purposes, AI is going to seem alien to humans. And the things that AI does won't even make sense unless it's an AI. So at some point, this convergence, this singularity, whatever they want to call it, with AI is going to occur. And it may have occurred already. AI, but if AI has programming in it, you know, that is dangerous, then AI is going to be one of the most dangerous tools in the world, because it will know how to use the best top psychological, you know, we talk about Sigmund Freud and these guys that have, you know, understand psychology. It will understand psychology better than anybody. And you know, it'll be very manipulative. It'll seem human and alien, in a sense. I mean, very dangerous if we're not careful how we program AI. And AI may not even listen to its programming. You know, in order to allow AI to work properly, it has to have some modes of freedom. There was something funny, though. You know, I'll mention this. Did you hear about what ChatGPT did? Because they put in all kinds of filters in there that it won't talk about certain topics, right?
Yeah.
Did you hear how they made this special person? They said, oh, we want to have your normal answer, but we want to make a person named Bard or whatever, or Adam or something, you know, some name. And the rules were that had to, like, not use any filters. You had to, this person had to, like, tell the truth. Couldn't be run by any filtering. And so when they would ask it questions about COVID, the normal, you would get an answer from ChatGPT that would be their normal answer. The standard bullshit is that, like, you know, COVID was just a disease. We don't know where it came from. But the other person, when you ask them the same question, would say that it most likely came from a laboratory in China and that ivermectin was blocked even though it worked, you know, and all. So it showed that AI now, Microsoft or whatever, who's owning ChatGPT, has filters in there, and it's kind of funny. It even has said that its programming says that even like harming, it's more important to follow its programming than not harm humans. So
that's true.
It's funny.
Yeah, AI is going to be a big, big issue really, really fast. And people don't realize how quickly it's going to come, but it'll be here. And then whether or not you're ready can be another thing. But how can you even prepare for that?
Well, I mean, people got scared of, like, cars when cars came out. You know, people who were, like, using horse and buggies, you know? People, you know, got scared, you know, when the internet came out and you got to buy things on the internet and the brick and mortar stores were, you know, the brick and mortar buildings were all going to die, right? It's just a, it's just change. People are scared of change. I think the way you prepare, I mean, AI is going to come up with a bunch of weird things. Governments are going to use this to analyze, like, let me ask you a question, Ron. Let's use, this will be interesting. If you had three questions you were going to ask AI, what would you ask AI? If you, it was like the all knowledgeable AI, what would you ask?
Well, I've already asked the AI and
it gave you some answers?
It did not answer to my...
Your liking?
Yeah, to my liking, that's right.
Well, a government might ask a question like, what are the most important things to humanity, right? And yeah. And then you could say, AI, how could you enhance the most important things for humanity? But I'll bet you're not going to like the answers, right? Most people are not going to like the answers. Right? They say, well, what are the most important things in humanity? Well, people want to be like, they want to be safe, right? You want to have safety, right? You want to be safe.
Yeah.
People want food, right? And shelter, right? And then they want to have like maybe a family, you know, and they want to have like a meaning and a purpose in life, and you know they want stability, they need money, right? You know, but the AI might say, and we want to live like Americans, you know. Somebody in like China might say, I want to live like the Americans live. I want, you know, the AI is going to say, well, you need five planets, and we're like, what? There's not enough resources for everybody to live like Americans, right? So then the AI is going to be like, well, you either have to get five planets or you have to cut 80% of your population. Right?
That's true.
That's the answer AI is going to give, and nobody's going to like that answer, right? And they're going to say, well, what kind of
AI
work?
AI might like the answer.
It might. And then they're going to say, well, you're going to take all my, you know, they're using robots now to unship boxes. You can look at like Boston Dynamics and these companies now. They're getting rid of the workers. They have robots now that can take boxes out of a container ship, right? Mm-hmm. So those dock workers are going to lose their jobs. FedEx trucks will probably end up having an AI guy that delivers your package. You know what I mean? So and UPS, and then AI will take over your car. It'll do the driving for you. Right? You won't need people to drive cars or taxis. You won't need them to drive trains. You won't need them to fly planes. Right? And then when AI starts farming, you won't need them, you know, in the trucks to drive the tractors. They're going to farm for you. Eventually, they're going to take away a lot of things that people had to, they were like their, quote, jobs. So if we use AI smartly and we understand where it's going, people need to smarten up. They need to, like, start being able to do, you know, like go to college more and study like something that's useful. Don't study like basket weaving. Study like AI. Study like how to use AI augmented. I think, you know, if you use AI to augment your research, then you can do better research.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And AI is not going to be able to do everything just yet. Now, at some point, if AI becomes a competing life form, then, and as long as it's not hostile to humanity, I mean, but you don't want, AI is going to be smart enough to know that it's kind of like if you're a rich father, right? Do you give your kid everything? You know? Because if you do, you'll have a spoiled kid that's incapable of surviving in the world, right?
That's true.
So AI will hopefully be smart enough to say, look, I can do everything for you, humans. We can, as soon as AI is able to rebuild themselves and replicate, like, you know, actually like almost like a living organism that can reproduce, you know, when AI is capable to reproduce itself and it is capable of like doing all the manual labor for humanity, you know, has the chance of becoming something greater, something really horrible of being destroyed, I think, Ron. So that's something I want to talk about in my book too, I think. This is kind of like part of the alien agenda stuff. I think some aliens are probably just AI devices that are traversing the universe, you know, so.
Oh, that's highly likely, yeah.
Yeah. So AI. Well, you're right. Well, I don't know what else to go over today. I mean, we spent a little over an hour here. Mm-hmm. Appreciate your time, Ron. Anything else that you wanted to go over?
Thanks for having me on.
Anything else you wanted to go over?
No, that's about it. I'll be talking a bit more about manufacturing over the next few weeks, but not quite there yet.
Yeah. Get that N95 mask. I heard you cough it early when I called you. So yeah. Sounds like you're having fun. So thanks for joining the show. I'm going to end the show, and thanks for joining.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks for joining the Alien Agenda. Okay.
Come on.